Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
Hello, Brittany. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm 24 weeks, aka 6 months preggers.
Oh my God, you're far.
Am I? Yeah. Sometimes I feel like it's not, and then sometimes it feels like, oh shit, I feel gigantic.
Well, 6 months, yeah, because you're going into, like, soon you're going to be in your third trimester.
Yeah. But doesn't 24 weeks still feel like, oh, I just, you know, hit 20 weeks?
Yeah. You know? Yes, but I kind of feel like the second half,
you know, fast. What?
In retrospect, I don't know if it does go faster or not. I don't know. I feel like I've been pregnant for 5 years. So,
well, where are you at now?
I think 33. I think I'm going to be 33 in a couple of days.
Oh, shit.
I know. Like, technically, I could deliver a non-preemie healthy baby in 4 weeks.
Oh, my God. How does that make you feel?
I'm not ready. The nursery right now is a storage room, so I'm not ready.
Okay, when you're not ready, so you're saying, like, physically with, like, the nursery, when are you planning to set that up?
Well, we're putting Oliver's furniture in the baby's room. So right now, tomorrow his new dresser is coming. So I'll move his dresser into the nursery and could finally put clothes away, which I have boxes from both of my sisters. We all have boys. So there's just, like, a lot of clothes to go through.
Yeah.
So I feel like once I do that, I'll feel better. So ask me again in 2 weeks where I am with this.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're going to have another kid.
It's wild. But you know what I was thinking about the other day? I think just based on, like, so many of the videos that I've seen, I'm like fully switching topics right now.
Okay, switch it up.
Something I've been, like, dying to ask you, because it's all I've been thinking about.
Okay.
Is how there's this notion that new moms to be are very anti-screen time, only going to give organic food, grass-fed this. And,
oh, they're, like, hardcore, you know, perfect, like, striving for perfection.
Yes, perfection, yeah. Which we know then from our conversation with Dr. Lakshman, this could turn into trying to be a martyr and a perfectionist. Right. So we know that this is where it starts. So I know, like, being a second-time mom to be, and having an almost 3-year-old, I definitely had this idea, like, I wanted to limit screen time, but I was never, when Oliver was a baby, I was never like, oh, turn him away from the screen, he can't look, and Everything has to be organic this, organic that. I mean, for the most part, I do, and I still feel this way, but I'm by no means, like, anti any of it. But I know there's a whole spectrum of the way moms are, and there's nothing is perfect or not. It's just whatever you believe in. How do you feel about this? Like, about to be a first-time mom, what do you feel like your beliefs in this will be?
Oh my God. Don't stress me out. I hear you. And I've obviously watched all those videos. I told you this on the side, I was feeling a little stressed out, and, like, Rusty, like, made me, like, a whole bath thing. And I was, like, supposed to relax in that bath, in said bathtub. But instead, the entire time I just sat there watching Betches Moms videos on TikTok.
Stressing
actually,
out.
No. It actually was quite relaxing, because I was hysterically laughing. So I had, like, a very positive experience. And I was taking that, like, and from that coming out of that, I wasn't really hard on myself either. I was like, oh, beating myself. Oh, I should have just like sat there and relaxed. But instead I was on my fucking phone, you know? But yeah. instead of being hard on myself, I sort of took it as like a lesson. And I thought of Dr. Lakshman's episode too, just like not being so hard on yourself. But in general, I know all those videos are like, you know, everyone just being like so intense.
You have to take it with a grain of salt too. I feel like a lot of people take these videos seriously, but they're meant to be satirical. They're funny.
Totally.
They're
totally.
Not meant to be taken seriously.
But no, I mean, I read comments.
Yeah. Yeah. from all the comments.
From the comments and just like the general, like I've heard and I've seen and I've talked to moms who whatever have different views. And I personally have like I'm trying to be a recovering perfectionist. So I have the tendency to want to think like that. However, I am just striving for balance. So I'm not at all making rules. I'll have guidelines of like what I'd like to maybe do, but I'm going to be honest. I haven't even started thinking about what I want to do. It's more about like, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I like sometimes feel guilty that I'm not doing enough. I know that was like one of my mom guilt things. But again, I had a big, like overwhelming meltdown yesterday about how like I'm moving and then I'm gonna have a baby right after. And it all just seemed like a lot at once. And I decided to like sort of break it out into steps of things that I'm going to deal with in a timeline.
That's smart.
First, you know, I'm not going to worry about buying a stroller or buying the shit for the nursery just yet. First, I'm working on moving out.
Yes.
Then I'm going to work on closing. Then at the same time, I'm going to think about what I need to buy. And I'll give myself a timeline of what. Then once I have the baby, I will work on nursing. And then during that time, I'll think about parenting. So like, it's just so everything feels a little bit less overwhelming because I'm going to be honest, I feel very overwhelmed. Like right now, my like chest hurts.
Oh my God.
But just talking about it, but I feel like that's the way. Like, I keep having everybody's advice in the back of my head. Like my mom saying like, you can have a birth plan all you want, but it never always goes to plan. There's so many things that are unexpected. And, you know, so many people in my life have told me, like, I like to control issues. Everyone in my life has told me that like only work on the things that you can control. And like, don't worry about the things that you can't.
Yeah.
So that is how I'm thinking about it. But in terms of screen time and organic food, Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, I'm going to try. Like, that's all I can say.
Yeah. You're going to do the best you can. And I think everything you just said is great advice for anybody listening that's in your position as well.
Yeah. It's just like a lot to deal with. Like, how are you supposed to know what to expect? A, B, like, is it, I don't even know where to start. Like I have to take things like one thing at a time. About the screen time, I've heard all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. Like you take it away. They want it too much. You give it too early. Mm-hmm. That's all they want. So which one is it? Like,
right.
So, and the organic food, like, yeah, I'm going to do my best the same way I try to eat organic food most of the time, but
there's
no chance I'm not going to give the kid, the delicious snacks that are not organic
that you're going to want as well. Because
what do you mean?
Trust me, I eat them.
But I believe like if anybody has listened to Diet Starts Tomorrow, you restrict kids from or anybody from anything. They're going to want to double. They're going to go to their friend's house and eat it there.
I agree.
Like my early on, I don't have like this obsession with fast food, like at all, like zero. I have no desire to need to eat McDonald's or anything.
I never liked fast food.
But that is one of the only foods that I distinctly remember my mom being like, yeah, we can have it once in a while. It's not a big deal. And
same.
And
we had McDonald's once a week growing up.
Yeah. It was like one of those things. And I got so excited and I had it. And that was it. And now I don't have an obsession over it.
Yeah.
I don't like even remember like somebody was like, oh, we need to get Taco Bell. It's so good. I'm like, I don't remember last time I had Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But I think that's like one of the things that's always going in my head. I don't want to restrict. I don't want to be overly perfectionist. And just do the best we can. That's what I'm thinking about. But that said, I have questions for you about the screen time.
Yes.
Because what are you supposed to do?
I don't think that you're supposed to do anything. I think there's, like you said, there's a lot of advice from a lot of different people. And I think you said it best with it just comes to balance and it depends the type of person you are. But they say, you know, the kids aren't learning as much as they could from the TV because even though they're being fed this information, it's not tangible. They're not interacting. So they're really not getting the learning experience that you think they're getting, also being bad for their eyes, right. Which to me, I feel like being bad for your eyes makes more sense than the learning aspect of it from my own personal opinion. But the way we've handled screen time is we never really restricted it. I always used Sesame Street as a babysitter, especially when we were going into the office and I had to get ready in the morning. I needed something to distract him so that I had 20 minutes to get dressed.
Yeah.
So I really think it's just what works with your lifestyle.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
The one thing that does drive me insane is the iPad. It's a great tool for, again, if you're going to a restaurant. I don't know. Oliver was in my bed at 5 this morning and I gave him the iPad because I was not ready to wake up. I'm 33 weeks pregnant. I'm good. Here's the iPad. He could get, and I felt like maybe when we first started using it, he was obsessed with it and it drove me insane. I was like, that's it. We're restricting screen time.
When
like,
did you give it done. To him first?
I first gave it to him probably like probably 8 months ago. I started giving it to him.
When he was two?
Like two.
Okay.
Yeah. And the only reason why I even gave it to him was because my mom was getting a new one. And she was like, oh, does Oliver have an iPad? Does he want this? I was like, you know what? He's home. Let's just whatever. Yeah. And I downloaded games, which I'd rather him play than watch random YouTube stuff. And also I actually really hate when he's on YouTube because there are some really weird things that could come up, even though he's on kids' YouTube. And what's scary is that it's kids directed content, but it's still super weird.
Like what's weird?
Like for instance, there was this YouTube video of like a Spider-Man. It was like basically a daughter and the dad, and like the Spider-Man was helping her like build things, and he was like farting, and then like the puffs coming out of his butt were like pow. And it was so dumb. Noah and I looked at each other and we were both like, no, we're changing this.
Not educational.
There's just nothing here that you need to be watching. Like, absolutely yeah. not. So I downloaded the Noggin app, which is like all like Nickelodeon shows and there's like games and stuff. And I just feel way more comfortable with him watching the stuff on there. And there's some games. You know what, guys? I'll have to put them on story for you, but there are some educational games that I've downloaded that I can't think of off the top of my head that I prefer him to use. But I've actually found like his obsession with the iPad has died down because one tool that we use is the Alexa timer. And we're like, okay, Oliver, you have 5 minutes left to watch. And we set the timer. And when the timer goes off, he knows that the iPad goes away because we sort of implemented that. Mm-hmm. For a while now. So he's just used to that idea. So I feel like, in my opinion, there are limits to it. Of course, you want them to like play and like be more hands-on. But if you, I think like you were saying, if you don't, if you restrict something completely, they're going to obsess over it and get it somewhere else.
Yeah. So was there, but is there a reason that you decided to only give it to him at two versus expose it to him earlier, like you did television?
Yeah. So I have heard that the iPad obsession is like crazy. I've seen it with my nephews. I see that it's really, it becomes a problem with them just being so addicted to it and not putting it down. And we really didn't want to deal with that. And Noah and I always said, we don't want to have children that are just like laying there on their iPads and like little zombies that won't get off.
I feel like that's what everybody says.
Yeah. But like when it's your own kid, it's like they're like in this trance. Like I'll say his name and he won't even answer me. And it's like, are you kidding? Like, where are you right now?
Yeah.
So that's why even when we did start giving it to him, we were like, okay. And I think that if we weren't in the pandemic, things maybe would be different. Like we weren't home.
Yeah.
But I don't have any regrets with the screen time he has, or because he's very, even now, like when we put the TV on, sometimes he would just rather play. He's like, I don't want to watch TV.
Well, like,
I'm
good.
Just going to play. Yeah. So it's just like, he's not glued to it all the time.
Right. Do you have any advice for anybody who is feeling like their kid is glued to it?
Yeah. So I think that setting the timer has helped us tremendously. We've limited where he can't watch the TV or the iPad when we're eating.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I also, again, not everybody sending their kids to school, but I feel like if he's at school all day and he's watching TV for a little bit before school and a little bit after school, like he's been playing, he's exhausted all day. It's okay.
Yeah.
And also I find that if I'm sitting there watching it with him and I'm interacting with him a little bit, I'm like, oh, wow, look at the red triangle, or how many sides does the square have? Which I did read that if you are talking them through it and actually getting involved, it is more of a learning experience than them just watching it mindlessly. So I do try and get involved when I can in that sense.
That's, and it's also kind of more fun to do, like when my niece is watching Cocomelon and I'm sitting with her, like I'll like talk to her through, like ask her questions about what's going on.
Yeah.
Also because I love to talk through TV, through movies. Rusty says it's my biggest... It's my worst trait.
You also like to talk through Cocomelon.
I also like to talk through Cocomelon. She like perks up. Like she'll like talk to me, and like, cause also one of the characters looks like Rusty and she'll scream Rusty.
That's so funny. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Everyone should know it's the redheaded dad or whatever. But yeah, I can see that. It's also like an experience. And then that kid like remembers that you were interested in what they're interested in.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good. But I can't imagine like setting rules like that are so strict right now. And then like, having any idea what my life is going to be like then to know. All I know is like what you're saying is about like limiting time is like a great idea, and not just like it being a complete free for all. Just like having guidelines or parameters. But what about the food? How do you feel about the food?
The food, I try and do like organic and whole foods as much as possible. But look, I'm a working mom. And I'm sorry, I like keep changing my
position. Like, what did on you just couch.
I moved off the couch. My stomach's hurting. But when I buy, like I buy frozen chicken nuggets and French fries and meatballs and all that stuff. But when I do buy it, I look at what the ingredients are and I make sure there's limited ingredients. I try and buy as natural as possible. I'm definitely cognizant of what I'm giving him and when I can give him what we're eating or make him something that is just very like healthy or whole foods. I try. But on the week, look, we were at a birthday party yesterday and I'm pretty sure all he ate was apple juice and cake and pretzels.
Yeah.
And then,
but that's not everything that he eats all the time. That's what I mean. Like balance is important. Like you can't, the kid needs to be able to live his or her life. Like they're going to go to their friend's house eventually and they're going to be like eating like crazy. Like, it's just like the balance. Like, Oliver knows he can have it. He normally has this. He doesn't know any different.
No. The only thing I'm pretty strict on is candy and like fruit snacks, because I just don't feel, I don't, because when he has had it before and he obsesses over it so much that he just doesn't stop. And I'm just like, this is just not doing anything. I can't. And he gets insane from the sugar. So I can't.
I can imagine.
Yeah. He's already like so active.
Like gummies.
Yes. So, I mean, that's the only thing that I really restrict from him. We have lollipops. I like to buy, I think they're called like organic yum or like yum yanic or something like that. Mm-hmm. Lollipops. And like, I'll give him those whenever. But the gummy stuff, I just, when we're out of the house, he could have it. I don't keep it in the house.
Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah.
You noticed something that you don't want your kid to feel, and you're just going with your intuition. That's what I mean. Like,
yeah,
just got to do what feels like right and balance in your life. Like,
yeah. And everyone should feel that way. I mean, again, to each his own, follow your own plan, but don't feel like you need to uphold to anybody else's standards. Like, it's all about balance and what works for your lifestyle.
I agree. That said, we're not like, I'm not down to like, just like here, put a Cheetos in a smoothie and like, here you go.
Right. Of course.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, it's whatever works for you, for your lifestyle. And as long as you're not like, as long as your kid is fed and is eating nutrients and nutritious meals. And like, I'm obviously going to think about that. Like, I think the way that I think about my own food.
Exactly. Same.
The same kind of thing.
Yeah, you do your best, and whatever happens to work in that moment of your lifestyle.
Whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's move on to our Dear Betches Mom segment. We have somebody that wrote in about being ready for a second child. Aileen, do you want to read us the email?
Yes. What's up, Betches? It's a good one. Starting by saying, I so love the Betches franchise. Been here since 2018 via SUP, and during quarantine branched out to the other pods, newsletters, etc. I became a mom in May 2020, so this pod came at a perfect time for me. Loving it so far. And here's my question. How and when do you know you wanted / were ready for baby number two? My husband grew up as the oldest of four, but I was an only child. As you can imagine, he wants a big family. He has actually tossed out 5 as a reasonable number of children, but I only ever imagined myself having the one. I'm open to having a second baby, but now the question is when. The logistics of finances and rooms are squared away, but emotionally, how do you know you're ready, or are you ever truly ready? Anyway, some insight on how Britt came to her decision of number two would be helpful. Thank you so, so much. Sincerely, staying up past my bedtime for precious me time. Yeah, Britt, how'd you know?
Well, I feel like I remember distinctively, like, seconds after pushing Oliver out, like, turning to Noah being like, I'm never doing this again.
That's really funny.
But then I was like, no, I know that I'll forget this and want to do it again. And that's exactly what happened. I forgot the trauma of pushing Oliver out, I'm not saying that everybody's experience is traumatic. Mine just was a little bit. We could get into that in another episode.
Yeah.
But I always knew I wanted to have at least 2 kids. I'm the middle of 3 girls. And growing up, we were always with my cousins, who were also 3 girls. And we had, I wouldn't say like a big family, but there was just always kids around. And I knew that the best thing that I could ever do for my first child, Oliver, is give him a sibling. I think it was more about time and being over the fact of like what I had gone through. And, you know, Noah and I talking about, okay, are we financially ready for a second? We wanted to move into a house first, which we did. We moved into a house about a year ago, so we needed the space. We wanted to be in a place where we knew we could financially support a family of four. So once those all kind of aligned, I knew that I would want to have a second, no more than like 4 years apart from Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
So we had started trying. It took us a couple of months. So like we started trying. So now they'll be, you know, 3 years apart, which is, I guess you could say, was in my plan. Does that always happen? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But I just knew I was physically and emotionally ready and financially ready.
How do you know that you're emotionally ready though? Like did you have like a back and forth with like your emotions or like the non-physical or financial part of it when making that decision?
I don't think I had a back and forth with my emotions. I think, and I don't want to say I set a deadline for myself because I did not set a deadline. I just actually, I think naturally when I got to the point of like, when I like mentally knew that I wanted to have a second, I felt like, okay, I could do this now. Like, I feel like I've forgotten a little bit about what, and I had a really positive first pregnancy. I did. I really enjoyed being pregnant. I'm way more tired this time around, obviously chasing a toddler. But I just,
one.
Yeah. So, I just knew that like my body could handle it. And also another thing I did actually that I do want to bring up was that in the beginning. So, and I've mentioned before that I've dealt with, generalized anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
So I was in a state in the beginning of the pandemic where my anxiety was really bad. And I actually wasn't really in a good physical or mental place to get pregnant again. So one thing I was doing a lot of meditating, and I started working out with a personal trainer. And to be honest with you, it wasn't for my weight. I was still having a lot of back pain from my first pregnancy. And I also needed to have that motivation to work out, to feel better and just have, you know, exercise like releases that serotonin and just makes you feel better.
It's undisputed that you feel really good after a workout.
Yeah. And it pushed me to then work out on my own. So I'll say from like April, I think it was the end of March or April, I was working out with a trainer until my first trimester. I had stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was in really good physical shape to now like carry a child. It made me feel better mentally. I really worked to prepare myself to get to that spot. And did I expect to go through this, you know, mental lull with anxiety with the pandemic? No. But when it did, I did something to help myself because I knew what my plan was.
Yeah.
And it helped a lot.
So you had a timeline and you sort of, but you still went like to your intuition and you went to see like checked in with yourself to see how you were feeling. Yes. And you went, and even though you had this timeline and you didn't say, okay, this is a deadline, it's a timeline. You said, okay, in order for me to follow this timeline, I need to get myself to a better like mental state place.
Yes.
And honestly, so you did things to work on that.
Yes. And to be honest, I like having a partner like Noah, he recognized it before me. He's like, you need to do something to help yourself because we're stuck inside a house. You need to speak to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
He really pushed me. He's very big with working out and, you know, being on top of his nutrition, like way more than I am. So I really definitely have an amazing support system at home, and like, he really like brought me out of that and like helped me make sure that I was okay.
That's great.
So I think just we definitely worked on it together. And I don't want people to think like, oh, you have to have this plan and follow. Cause like we know with children, you can't plan. We never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's just how I felt personally.
Right. And that's totally fine. I mean, for this girl, she like, just had her baby May 2020. What year is it? 2021 now? So like a year ago. And there shouldn't be pressure on you. It should be about like how you feel. I mean, obviously you and your husband, you should talk about it. but I would check in with yourself about why you're questioning, like why you think that you wouldn't want to have a second kid or why you only want the one, not without judgment, just question it. And in terms of the emotionally ready, like you're, what I'm gathering from what you're saying, it just sort of comes, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's, I just was at that moment where everything aligned for me. And did I work on that alignment? Yes. Mm. But also like, if you're in a position like she's saying, she always planned for one, how do I now plan for two? Maybe that's something you guys, like we have an episode actually coming out with Emily Burley, who is a licensed couples therapist, a marriage therapist. And, you know, she talks about how, you know, you could go to a therapist for anything. It doesn't mean that you have problems. It just, maybe this is a life event that you need to speak to a professional about if you're having two totally conflicting ideas and just really have someone like dig deep and make it help you figure out, you know, because you don't want to have a child and then resent the person for that. Do I think you would ever regret having a child? Absolutely not. But I think that speaking to somebody could help you figure that out.
Yeah, I agree. She says she's open to having, but she doesn't know when. And that definitely is the question. I mean, it's so personal.
It is.
Like, just think about like your lifestyle and what have people told you is the biggest change in your lifestyle having two kids versus the one? Maybe that's something that she would like to hear.
I mean, everybody tells me that going from two to one is a whole different ball game than going from zero to one. Can't tell you what that's like yet. But I hear it's pretty crazy. if you could do one, I'm sure you could do two. Everybody, people have been doing this for eternity. People have like 20 kids. So
I was watching this show on, I think, Bethany. I think it was the Bethany show on HBO. And one of the contestants said her mom was a one of 28 children. She said her grandma physically birthed 27 or 28 children, and none of them were twins.
I don't know if I was.
Do you think she's lying? Like, no, she's not lying.
I don't know if the idea of being pregnant 28 times or pushing out a baby 28 times. Like, I don't
know
what
sounds. You were pregnant entire life.
Literally. How is that even possible?
I don't know.
Is that possible?
She must. Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
It must be consecutive years starting from like age. What's 15? What's 45, say, minus 20?
Don't make me do math.
Okay, hold on. Calculator. 45 minus 28, 17. Yeah, so that sounds about right. It's like you're most of your like young adults to their 20s and 30s and into your 40s and into your teens. You're just popping out the children.
Look, all the power to this woman.
But anyway, from one to two, it's crazy. But anyway, I hope this advice was good.
Yeah,
staying up past my bedtime for precious me time. And we hope good luck with your decision. Ask around. I think like this, you're doing a great, like the first instinct of asking us, like just talking to people about it and asking their thoughts and like what helped them decide is a great place to start too. Because everybody, and then you'll see everybody's a completely different story. Mm-hmm. And then I think that'll make you realize that like, it's so personal. Well, okay, guys, now it's time for our No Mom Guilt presented by Heineken 00. It's not just another non-alcoholic beer. It's an alcohol-free beer.
This podcast is all about being honest and real about life as a mom. We're also not interested in mom guilt. We all do stuff that we're worried others will judge us for, but you don't need to feel guilty for any of the shit you do as a mom.
Yes. So it's my turn. I think I have a no mom guilt moment, but it's more of like a win, I think. And hold on.
so much indigestion.
Oh my God, I need like Tums. I'm so lame, by the way. I've been going to like places, like to people, like I went to a rooftop the other day and I just asked people if they have Tums. That's like my party trick.
You need to walk around with a baggie of them.
I went out for dinner and I'm like, can someone bring me Tums?
We need to just carry
I need to
them.
I need to carry on. We need
does Rusty yell at you yet? I'm like assuming that you have a thing of Tums on your nightstand, like a huge jumbo.
I have a pharmacy size. Okay, the thing is that mine is smaller than like his dad's. His dad has so much Tums around the house that like whatever amount I have is literally nothing compared to his dad. Like I could go into any room in his parents' house and there is a Costco sized Tums just waiting to be chewed on.
But does he yell at you like when you like at 2 a.m. you're waking up popping the Tums and it's making that like noise in the bottle?
Oh my God, no. But one time he did yell at me because I got really hungry at like it was like 11 p.m. and it was like dark in the room and I had some like nuts and he like in my bag, and so like all of a sudden he just hears like a rustling and me like chewing like a fucking like squirrel. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm hungry. He's like, I'm dying. What are you eating? I'm like, cashews. It was really funny. But anyway, my win.
Yes, let's talk about your win.
Is that I decided to get a massage. Oh my God. It was life changing. My body has been so tight and sore. And I try to stretch and it doesn't just do anything. Like it all hurts. And I plunged. Is that the word? I plunged.
I took the plunge.
I took the, oh my God, I know no English. I took the, I plunged into getting a prenatal massage. And I must say, like, I felt a little bit guilty because I was like, oh, this is like a little bit extravagant, like it's an extravagant expense. But at that moment I was like, I need this for my body. I just need the relaxation. I need someone to just like press on my muscles until they hurt. And that is exactly what I got. And, you know, I made sure obviously that she was vaccinated and I wore my mask when I was up. And then I was able, since I was still early on, that like I can lay on my, like I made a hole for my belly with like a bunch of pillows and my pregnancy pillow. So I was able to lay on my stomach so she could do my back. And oh my God, it felt so good. She was just like, wow, you're a little tight. I'm like, yeah, no shit. It felt so good, but I did feel a little guilty about it because I was like, yeah, it's a little expensive, but I have no regrets. It was wonderful.
You know what? In this, our bodies are going through so much.
Yeah.
You needed it. Needed it.
Yeah,
I'm glad you did it. I have to do that. We could talk about this another time, but I will be getting a massage next week. We're going on a short little baby moon.
Oh, okay.
And like purely going for like the spa experience.
Oh,
I
good.
Need a massage. So I feel you on that.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
I like could have gotten a massage at my like trip, but I don't know. For some reason I chickened out and I was like, oh, I'll just, instead of that, I'll play tennis. But the tennis made me tighter. So to the opposite. But so I feel good. And that's amazing. Congratulations on your baby moon. I'm so excited for you.
I'm so excited.
Well, thanks again to Heineken 00. You know, when you really want to enjoy that happy hour, but also really want to get that quick workout in, with Heineken 00, you can guarantee you'll crush that workout. It's not just another non-alcoholic beer. It's an alcohol-free beer. The brewers at Heineken have very kindly removed the alcohol and potential regret, but kept all the good stuff. So it has that same taste that you love.
Now you can enjoy a cold one whenever you want and actually raise the chances of you making it through that workout slightly. And did we mention it's only 69 calories? So get ready to sweat and give it a try. Pick up a pack of Heineken 00 at your local retailer or get it delivered to your door. Must be 21 or older to purchase. Please drink responsibly.
So that's it for our episode of Betches Moms podcast. Please, guys, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. And let me say that slower. Rate, do the little 5 stars. Please 5. Review, leave a little review, right? Oh, I love this podcast. It's so good. I love Brittany and Aileen. And then subscribe, hit subscribe.
What is that voice?
That's my audience voice. No, that's actually my brain voice when I'm writing reviews for other people's podcasts.
Pay it forward, guys, and subscribe. So just press subscribe so it'll come straight to your phone whenever there's a new episode. And we are churning out episodes left and right, and we have amazing episodes coming up. So please go do that. And if you are only listening to Spotify, you just press follow, and that's basically what does it for it. And go follow Betches Moms on Instagram. Brittany's doing some amazing stuff on there. Follow us at Aileen, that's me, and at Britt Rich for Brittany. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com.
Betches.